All right, coming up, Andrew Wagner, former Sports Brewers writer, brought to you by Focus Baseball. If you're looking for baseball tryouts for your young kids, so many people are scrambling right now. This time of year is the absolute worst to be a parent. I mean, if your kid's a stud, it's great. But if your kid isn't necessarily a stud at the top of the food chain on the baseball team, then it's the, you know, sweating out. Is he going to, you know, be ass back or not? And then if he or she isn't ass back, then you're like, okay, well, now what? So then you're scrambling to get him to different or her to different baseball tryouts and all this other stuff and trying to figure out what you're going to do for the next baseball season because you want him on a team if at all possible. So that's this time of year. And Focus Baseball, great group of guys. Know the coaches over there. Last couple of winters have my kids worked with their coaches. Great group. So check them out. FocusBaseball.com. They got their tryouts going on all month. FocusBaseball.com. They sponsor the Andrew Wagner segment coming up at 3:20. Joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, with his smiley face. He's always smiling. Every time I talk to him, he's got a big smile on his face. Dan Zielinski joins us from BaseballProspectJournal.com. Follow him on Twitter at DanZielinski3, because he's a third. DanZielinski3. Dan, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, looking forward to talking draft with you, Steve. Always enjoy this time of the year.
Let's see. What years were you here at the Fan, Dan? Do you remember what years it was?
Yeah, I started December 2013 and went into the summer 2017.
Never, ever, even though YouTube was a thing back then, did you think or I thought that we'd be doing this live on YouTube necessarily? And here we are all these years later. You have this website, baseballprospectjournal.com. We're going to talk about the draft coming up on Sunday night and Monday and Brewers possibilities and all of that. But you also have like a college basketball website that you started up too since the last time we talked, right?
Yeah, so about a year ago, I launched midmajorbasketball.com. It's really an all-encompassing website for mid-major college basketball, primarily focused
on like the Panthers, like Milwaukee Panthers, Green Bay Phoenix, all that.
Green Bay, all the, you know, big mid-majors to smaller mid-majors, have a talented team of about 20, 25 writers over there and doing well. So getting ready for that season coming up here in a few months.
Look at Dan Zielinski, big baller guy. Stabbed like 20, 25 guys ran for him. All right, let's talk about baseballprospectjournal.com. I love the website. You do so many interviews throughout the year. You are so in tune to doing all this stuff. Hopefully one day you'll end up on MLB Network and we'll be watching on TV and doing your thing. This draft class, I was reading about it. I've been reading about it because I'm a draft dork or whatever else. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of people enamored with this draft class as far as being really, really good going into this year. Like, there doesn't even seem to be a clear number one for the Nationals necessarily.
Right, that's a fair point. I think there's a lot of parity in this year's draft class. There's a lot of quality talent, but there's not those Paul Skenes, Dylan Cruz, Wyatt Langford type guys that we had a few years ago at the top of the draft. There's about two, three guys right now in the mix to go first overall, probably two at this point. And then there's a bunch of guys kind of 10 to 15 who could easily be top seven overall picks. So a lot of parity. The biggest strengths in this year's draft class are the high school shortstop class. There could be like six, seven high school shortstops drafted in the first round. And also college pitching is another strength in this year's draft. So not the star talent you want to see at the college or high school ranks, but there's still a lot of good talent overall in that first round.
So you obviously are on every draft and you know what's going on and you're in tune with all of this. You got a gut on the Brewers? Because the gut, to me, the gut says they're not going college pitching. That's my gut. Now, if Stearns was still here as GM instead of going to New York, I would say, man, he's salivating at a bunch of high school shortstops. That's his bread and butter. You know, these dudes that play up the middle. This current crew seemingly have been willing to go with bigger dudes that are 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", got some sticks with them that play on the infield. Botante and those guys, Brock Wilkin. These dudes are all bigger dudes that can kill the ball. And thanks to Matt Arnold, I appreciate that. So I'm a little bit confused, if we're being honest, as far as which direction they may go right there in the first round.
I think if you had to put money on it, it's probably the college route. Just looking at some kind of recent trends for the Brewers. You talk about first college pitching or just pitching in general in the first round. Since 2015, they've only taken three pitchers in the first round, and that's considered the first round in Comp A round, which teams are awarded based on market size, things like that. And so they've only taken three since 2015. And then you look at 2020, and it's been primarily college guys. They've had eight first round picks in those 5 years, only taken two high school players. One was last year, the high school outfielder Braylon Payne from Texas. And then 2 years ago, it was Josh Knoth. They took him with their second first round pick, a right-handed pitcher. So looking at simply trends, you would think college, and that's kind of what I've heard throughout this draft cycle, is the college route. They're connected to a lot of college position players, some occasional college pitcher thrown in there. They also have been interested in some high school position players, but it seems like their main focus throughout this cycle is college guys.
Okay, so let's go back in the time machine, right?
Yeah.
So when Jackson Rensick was the farm director, and this was back when Doug Melvin first got here, and he brought Jackson Rensick with him, and they're the ones that brought on Ricky Weeks and Corey Hart and J.J. Hardy and Prince Fielder. So Weeks played college. I don't believe Hart, Hardy, or Fielder did. They were all high school kids. And then there became a decision on what they were going to do with the Ryan Braun selection, and they went Braun with a college selection at that point. I've always looked at it as, if I was going to go this route, I would always go high school position players and college pitchers. That would be my choice every day of the week, because there's too much if come maybe stuff with possible injuries and everything else with a high school pitcher at this point. But if you look at this Brewers organization as we sit here today, they've got a bunch of both, if we're being honest, right? You feel like they're pretty stacked in the minor leagues, plus their international signings have been hitting left and right with Mate and Pena and all these guys. So you feel good about that. And dare I say this, because I hate when people say this, draft the best available. But maybe it's just that simple. Maybe they just got their board and like, we don't care what position, we don't care what the age is, we're stacking the board as we think they are talent-wise, and best one there on our board we're taking. We're not going to aim at high school shortstop. We're not going to aim at only a college pitcher. We just take best available, because a college pitcher, what, you're to the majors within hopefully 3 years, 2 to 3 years, you should be in the majors. High school pitcher, I mean, that's 5 years, probably 4 or 5 years, unless you're Mizorowski or something crazy, but that's a little bit longer of a cycle. I don't think they need a pitcher to get there that quickly right now.
No, I don't think so. I mean, one name I've heard them connected to when it comes to the college pitching side, and Steve, you're going to like this guy because I know how you are with injuries, but Gage Wood, right-handed pitcher
falling
from Arkansas.
He's free falling down the board, I heard.
So he's a guy that has only pitched just over 133 innings throughout, you know, the spring college season and then summer leagues over the last 3 years. He had some shoulder issues in high school, had some shoulder issues earlier this year, but he threw a 19 strikeout no hitter at the College World Series, was really dominant. His fastball is elite. It touches 98 miles an hour. He also has a swing and miss breaking pitch as well, and really does a great job of striking guys out with pitches in the strike zone. The problem is his injury history. You're taking a chance on a guy like that. To me, the Brewers could definitely take him. He's in play there at number 20. It just, the Brewers have been pretty, have steered away from risk throughout the first round. If anything, like you said, they go that, you know, high school position player like they did last year. They really liked Braylon Payne.
And nobody saw that pick coming either.
Yeah, they didn't think he was going to get to their second pick, so they took the chance on him. And then it was part of kind of manipulating the signing bonus dollars too, because then they took some high school pitchers later on day one and two. So the Brewers have really kind of steered away from risk. So if, again, I would think that's probably where they're going to go with a college position player, but I wouldn't be opposed to a high school position player if there's one you really like there. There's a guy named Gavin Fien. He's a third baseman out of California. Left-handed hitter, really talented hitter. Last summer on the showcase circuit, most scouts considered him the best high school hitter at all these events, and he really showed out with being able to hit for average and power, spray the ball around the diamond. Had a so-so high school season kind of reminds me a little bit of a Bryce Terang some years back when Bryce Terang was the top high school prospect going into that cycle and kind of struggled a bit his high school senior season. So Gavin Fien could be there. He's a guy that he's not going to play gold glove third base, but I think he can stick there, but he definitely can hit, and that's his calling card moving forward. So maybe they go that kind of direction as well.
I want power, man. Like, I love the Brock Wilkin pick when they made that. Batante pick, I was good on. I mean, these dudes that are bigger, that can kill the ball, bring me more of them. They've got speed guys everywhere. Like, I'm fine that they've got speed guys. I'm good with that. But they need some meat and some potatoes in the middle of the lineup, Dan Zielinski.
Well, that's the problem currently with their major league rosters. Correct. They don't have a lot of guys that hit for power. It's all those guys who get on base and can steal bases. And when they're not getting on base, they're not stealing bases. So one name is Jace Lavallette. He's another guy in that kind of number 20 range. He was someone I saw last year at the College World Series. He's a college center fielder at Texas A&M. Really big kid, 6'6", 230.
There you go. And yes.
He entered the year as maybe the favorite to go number one overall. Definitely the best college player in this year's draft class before the season started. Struggled a little bit with some swing and miss concerns, but he's a guy that when he's on, he's driving the ball with authority all over the field, and he can play center field. I saw him, like I said, at the College World Series. He looked really good. He's athletic. He can move. He can run clean routes. He might end up moving to right field, but either way, big power bat. You're taking a chance because of that swing and miss. But at 20, a guy that was going into the year maybe the favorite to go 1-1 and get him at pick 20, there could be some value there. Definitely some risk, but definitely a lot of up too.
Who am I missing here? Because who am I missing? Do they have a power hitting outfielder in their farm system that I'm not remembering coming up through the farm system right now that are at the lower levels coming up? I can't think of one.
Off the top of my head, no. I mean, they've taken guys like Freelick Mitchell.
Braylon Payne is another one. That's Braylon another Payne's guy another that's one. Not very big.
Joey Weimer was gone. He just couldn't hit the ball.
Yep.
But yeah, like they've really all their position players they've drafted in recent years, even a Tyler Black or a Mike Covey, guys who don't hit for a lot of power. And I don't understand that philosophy, and I don't think it's necessarily worked. You talked about international signings. They've crushed it internationally. I think they've made some really good draft picks. We've seen Jacob Mizorowski have a lot of success and some other guys, but you got to take a chance once in a while, too, in the draft.
All right, what's your pick? What do they do? Give me their first two picks, because they had a comp B pick, too, I believe. So give me their two first picks in your humble opinion of how this goes.
Yeah, with the 20th overall pick, I think they're going to take Caden Bodine. He's a catcher out of Coastal Carolina.
Is he related to Jeff Bodine?
You don't know. Think so.
Good. Yeah. That's fine. Go ahead.
He's a left-handed hitting catcher, a little bit more average over power, but definitely has shown some improvements in that regard. Some scouts think he might have to tweak the swing a bit to get a little bit more loft in it to hit for more power, but is a guy that really has a strong plate discipline, drives the ball into the gaps. Defensively has really improved in that area with his framing, throws out a lot of runners. I think he can stick behind the plate long term. So that's who I think they're going to go with in the first round if he's available. And then a guy in that comp A round, that's pick 32, is Cam Cannarella. Another more average over power type hitter, but he's someone who's going to stick in center field long
term. How big is he?
6'1", 185, left-handed hitter.
That's big for them. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that really makes great contact, hits the ball hard, and the hope is that he's going to tap into more power as time goes on, maybe make some adjustments, but he's above average in center field, potentially gold glover in center field. So I think that would be a solid get between the two guys. And with the way baseball is going these days, major league teams are trying to push their draft picks quicker and quicker through those minor league systems. And for an organization like the Brewers, who aren't going to spend a lot of money in free agency, I think going to get two proven college hitters would be a great success here. And then with the amount of signing bonus dollars you have, you can maybe play around and take some chances on high school kids throughout your first five picks, because the Brewers have five picks in the first 94. They did have six, but they traded the one for Quinn Priester. So
I just I got to think one of those first two are pitchers. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. I will be pleasantly surprised if they go two position players. Dan Zielinski III, baseballprospectjournal.com. Check it out today. I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. It is so good. Follow him on Twitter at Dan Zielinski III. Again, Dan Zielinski III, baseballprospectjournal.com. Dan, thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Steve. Always enjoy it. Talk soon.